genuinely, how do you actually think your journey within politics has been, you know, like as a queer woman within a very predominantly male dominated space? How has that actually been for you?
I don't know how to answer this question. Yes. It's really funny because I was asked, obviously, when I first came into parliament as a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed 23-year-old. Now I'm a very cynical 31-year-old. I was asked a lot about what it was like to be the youngest MP in parliament. And I was like, I don't know what it's like to be Winston Peters, you know, like, I don't know what it's like to be the grandfather of the house. I only know what it's like to like live my life and live my experiences. But, you know, to move away from that flippancy. I think that whenever you don't occupy the archetype of who is assumed to be in these positions of power, then you have to work a little bit harder in order to be considered valid or legitimate in the way that others are kind of handed that mantle. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've been on the grind, you know, the better part of a decade. And hopefully, I really do hope that my work speaks for itself. And, you know, back to kind of some of the initial stuff that we were talking about with just the integrity and having to like wade through the complexity and make, you know, cases on things that are quite controversial, be they wealth tax or drug law reform or whatever the case may be. I think at this point in time, hopefully people have a bit of a sense of the fact that I do know what I'm talking about, and I can give you all the citations. I've stopped talking so fast because I feel like I've, hopefully gained some ear of people's understanding and occupying this very weird and bizarre world. But yeah, I mean, just another element of that, like the hate's insane. It's really gnarly. And but that said as well, I also feel very privileged to know that I don't do what I do alone. The community is profound, and I very strongly feel, and I see it proven every single day, that the vast majority of New Zealanders care about each other and the planet that we live on. And like, for real, that's the stuff that so deeply inspires me.
100%. That's what you need to do. That's actually what you need to do.
Inspiration's a mirror. Inspiration, it's just reflecting back to us things that we have inside of ourselves. It's an opportunity to participate and to build the world that we want to live in, guys.
And this is the podcast with Chloe Swarbrick.
No, and tune in next week for our tips on cryptocurrency.
Yeah, cryptocurrency. Oh, my God. Oh, no. I've turned it off. No, but, you know, young creatives and also young politicians, I guess, as well, they often feel so much burnout trying to make it while also advocating for change. What advice do you have for, you know, these, you know, it's just the tamariki out there that are trying to balance survival with purpose?
Oh boy. I think it's really important for us to understand that if we have hero complexes, then we actually have ended up internalizing the like neoliberal paradigm, by which I mean that. Yeah, like the idea of the self-made millionaire or billionaire, as we all know, is absolute nonsense, because no human being is an island, and we rely on this network of whether it be the infrastructure of our legal system or supply chains, or actually just, you know, other human beings who are doing certain jobs that help to support that labor. So I think that it is about understanding that you don't do it alone, and that resilience is not a commodity that you can buy off of the shelf. It is not the equivalent of going and getting a massage or going on like your little wellness retreat. Resilience is a community trait, and it is something that we create together. So one of the best ways to minimize burnout is to find your people and to not try and do everything by yourself. And yeah, that's really kind of the best advice that I can give, knowing full well that oftentimes I can also be a hypocrite. But I'm learning. We're all on our journeys. But yeah, I think it's just, again, like it is a slow burn. And this kind of comes back to that point around like how, I guess, we change the world. And I have, you know, after the better part of 10 years doing this politics with a big P thing, I have a very, very strong proof of concept that while it takes a long time, it's genuinely conversations. It's genuinely connecting with other human beings and trying to understand where they're coming from. And despite how political polarization presents itself, because we're all fighting at the pointy end of, you know, or like what is actually just the tip of the iceberg of all of these beliefs and experiences and the things that we've been exposed to. If we spend the time and like dig deeper and again get to like the bottom of that iceberg, I think we'll find that we have a heck of a lot more in common. We might just not always have the same language for it.
Totally. And I've just got a couple more questions for you because I don't want to.
I'll try
to
be shorter in my answer. The most meandering interview.
If we're being completely honest, I have done the longest vocal take in RDU's history on the show, so it's absolutely fine.
So with our powers combined,
boom! It's a month long podcast. Yeah. No, I just wanted to ask just two final questions. Mm. Is just RDU focuses on alternative and independent music. How do you see the value of these kinds of grassroots spaces compared to the big commercial media / radios?
Oh, I mean, it's weird. It's where the weird stuff happens, yeah. like at the most base level. But it's also just where people who don't have access to promoters or PR people or the resources that are necessary to get those things are able to get their foot in the door. It's also where we can see more of our community's aspirations, I think, reflected. So I think just inherently, for sake of serving the people, that's why the SRN Student Radio Network, also like 95 BFM Hard. I spent 4.5 years on that station. It made me. I think just from the perspective of both the community that it fosters and then how that spills out into real spaces that we can share together and then the conversations and, yeah, the fun that we get to have, because God forbid, if we want to talk about the revolution and political change, we need to have some fucking fun.
Just a little bit of fun.
Just come a little bit. Team. Just a little bit. I mean, just joy, man. Like, bring that back into activism, please.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. To that point of like the antidote to burning out as well. Like, we need to like each other and we need to have fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And support each other and uplift.
Yeah,
my
totally,
God.
Totally.
No more tall poppy syndrome.
Exactly.
Please, my
exactly.
God. No, but my final question for you, it's probably going to be the hardest question you've ever been asked in your entire life, and the hardest one in this little interview is, who are some awesome artists from across the motu that you support,
true.
Man? Who are some people you support?
Who are some people I support? Well, look, I just cited Dick Move before, and I go to the Warriors games with three of the Dicks from Dick Move, so we have our season pass. I would say as well,
up the Waz,
honestly. It's our year every year, even when we're losing. it really does teach you resilience, though, doesn't it?
It's all coming back. It's
exactly,
all
exactly.
Back.
It's the underdog story.
It's a giant paradox.
Who else would I say? I've been listening to Tono a lot, Anthony Tonin, a lot recently. I just honestly like the ability to synthesize the stories of like local body elections and infrastructure and the narratives of small town and revitalization. obsessed. I feel like I'm now just like, let me put little dots on this map that I've got in my head. So we've gone Tamaki, we've gone Dick Move. I'll also do like Church and AP. Been listening obviously to Avantdale Bowling Club, Tom Scott's new album, going to the gig at the Civic next week. I would say, oh, and also Juju Lips. She's so sick, man. I'm obsessed. It's such stage presence
I
as well.
I have the honor. She invited me on stage with her and Who Shot Scott, and she lifted me up, and I thought I was getting taken to heaven. I was like, oh my God.
Oh man, yeah. She's incredible. Beautiful. Incredible. And actually, speaking of the Scrolls and Juju Lips and Avondale Bowling Club,
yes.
Juju Lips' cover of, I can't even remember, was it Liquor Shop? Maybe it was a mashup at the Scrolls 2 years ago, was just one of the most stunning things I've ever seen.
Incredible.
It was so sick. Okay, then we've done a Palmy adjacent area with Tono. Wellington, Te Whanganui Atara, Ma. Love Ma.
Love Ma.
Her new album is sick as well. Blame It on the Weather, Great Instruction with Regard to Climate Change, Manamotu Hake, etc. Then, oh my gosh, I mean, look, we obviously, we love our boy Marlon Williams and Commie.
Yes,
I think we'll leave it there for now. I'm now just absolutely going blank.
Any other Ōtautahi artists?
Off the top of my head,
Nim Jensen. There's a Tuesday.
Oh yeah, are they from Ōtautahi?
Yeah.
Oh, they play a lot in Tamaki.
Yeah. They do.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Shout out. There's a Tuesday. Yes, I know. There's a Tuesday.
Love it.
Yeah, and Delaney, obviously, of course, yeah. Our boy. Yeah, it was such a good gig. Good award show for your Wednesday. Oh, and Ben Woods. Classic. We love it. Yeah, Portnoy's next year. Man. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we'll see you down there. You'll be two-stepping. I know you will be.
You'll see me awkwardly dancing in the corner. That's actually the one thing that I'm leaning into in my 30s, because I'm truly in my 30s now.
Yeah.
Is the dancing.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, lean into cringe.
Lean into the cringe.
In 2025,
to be cringe
guys.
Is to be free.
Exactly.
But no, thank you so much for your time today, Chloe. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me mumble all through that. Let me just think live on air about all the music.
Classic. No, well, yeah, just thank you so much for your time. Can't wait to see more updates, what's happening, and see you dancing at Portnoy's next year.
You got it.
Yeah, you got it. RDU 98.5. This has been an interview with Bex and Chloe Swarbrick. We're going to take it back to the playlist.